Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Testing his might, walking his light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are his wonders and grand his ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heavens proclaim,
Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yes, suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the victor of Calvary, come let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus has won, come let us worship, worship the Lord, let us worship. Worship the Lord, come let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, your Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yes, suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come let us worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 47. It's Psalm, rather, 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God.
Standing for prayer. Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. He is our Savior and he is our High Priest. He is the only intercessor between man and God. No wonder Paul said there is one God and one mediator between God, the man, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you that you lead us to believe in him. And now because we believe in him, we are his disciples. And we want other people to know Jesus Christ freely through the exhortation of thy word that produces faith. Now, Father, we, as a church body, are blessed to not only broadcast and be united in this place in Morin Hill, California, but also through the radio and KKMC across California and through the internet across the world. And we thank you, Father, for the friends everywhere in America and across the world who write to us, who email to us, and who tell us how blessed they are in worshiping with us every Sunday. Lord, we as a church body, from time to time, we have people who need your touch of mercy. And we pray for Ann Pareto that her heart be regulated and well. For Loretta Forrest, Lord, each time we visit with her, we receive the blessings of somebody who is sick but in bed with cancer. Nevertheless, her heart rejoices in the Lord. Father, we pray for Jerry West, our friend in Costa Rica, that he may found quickly relief from that cancer. From Angelica Mix, from Stephanie Mix, and from Helen Menix, who is sick, Father, we pray your comfort, your strength, and your mercy and healing power. Lord, we do have missionaries across the world, physical missionaries. Fred and Carol Lewis. Fred is heading for surgery tomorrow in his shoulder, and we pray for a great discovery and a great healing power, and that he can make it for the 21st, Father, to visit with us. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Abendano in Guatemala, Marta Peretti in Buenos Aires, South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey and the Motorsport Ministry. We thank you, Lord, that we have a part in their life, and their work is a reflection of our support because they are preaching the gospel everywhere. Lord, bless us today with your presence. And may the convicting power of your word heal our heart. We maybe need to be saved. We maybe need to have peace in what we believe. Whatever our need is, oh God, let your work today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 663. We will be reading Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. Please stand now as we read God's Word, Romans chapter 4, all verses. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you and praise you for your mighty works in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for such a marvelous and tremendous graciousness shown us in this great promise, as shown in the words of the Scripture we have just heard. We know, Father, we have nothing to boast about except the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was put to our account when we believed. Help us, Father, to demonstrate our faith by our works. Pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, and we thank you for his faithfulness in bringing the whole counsel of God. Bless him now as he comes to expose the great truths of your word. We also ask that you would bless us, Father, who listen here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may grasp these truths, which are a matter of life and death. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and I would like you to keep in prayer. Pastor Greg and his family are driving at this moment from Oregon back to California. Candace graduated as a school teacher and grammar, I guess, specializing in grades 1 to 5 or 1 to 8. And we thank God for that. Also, Ramil Yalde is in Japan and flying to China at this moment for another week. And also, Tyann and Henry June are in Korea, in Seoul, Korea, visiting with, I think, Henry's parents. So keep those people in prayer, part of our church, and they are travelers, all right? You turn your Bible, please, to the book of Romans in chapter 4, and put one hand in the book of Romans. Our studies this month want to be on faith, on the importance of faith, on the illustration of faith, actually, how faith has been carefully illustrated in the Bible so that you can look on it and see faith as really is. Once you have Romans in your hand 4, move your Bible to the book of Hebrews 11:1. Keep your hand in Romans. It's page 709, if you don't know where located, the Bible in the pew. There you find the Bible in the pew will be 709. Hebrews 11:1 give you the definition of the word faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. Some Bibles carry the word evidence. The original language carrying a strong emphasis on the tangible things. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance, the tangible things, the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, of course, is that important? Well, move your eyes from verse 1 to verse 6 and look what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the key factor, is the engine that leads you to God. So now let's go back to the book of Romans. Our first illustration is going to be in the one who, as you heard the reading, was called the father of our faith, Abraham. All right? And so I learned that a picture works 1,000 words. Is that right? You know that. And so if I give you 4 pictures in the Bible about faith, my hope is that God will work in your heart and bring that faith into action. The first of these pictures that we're going to study is Romans 4. If you have a Greek Bible with you, which is divided in paragraph, it's so easy to read the Greek because it's self-divided in paragraph, no, in chapters. Romans 4 is the 6th paragraph in the letter to the Romans. And this paragraph explain that our relationship with God hinges on faith and not on rituals and ceremonies of the law. As you remember, if you remember the book of Leviticus, if you ever have read that book, is 8 chapters on the ceremonies of offerings and then 4 or 5 chapters on how the priest should conduct into the temple and offering those ceremonies. And in doing so, that were pleasing God. But when Christ Jesus have come, all this ceremonial law was fulfilled in the person and in the life of our Lord Jesus. And it's also beautiful to know that the work of Christ, the life of Christ, has fulfilled entirely the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. And no one of us, like this morning we have the Lord's Supper, has to bring a lamb in order to be justified, because the Lamb of God have already come once for all and died for us. So ask yourself, what constitutes faith? You know, when you talk to people and you visit families, I was visiting with a family in Lodi, and out of the blue, this young man, who I helped him years ago to get out of a wrong doctrine and marry our great-grandniece, he said, Uncle, what constitutes faith? Right in the dinner. You know, you never know when you're going to get hit in your head. What a good question. I'm glad I have a sermon done so that I can answer to him. What constitutes faith? Well, let's look to Abraham. Number one, his faith was centered in a person. Look in verse 17, Romans 4, 17. What is the object of this faith? Romans 4. In verse 17, as it is written, I have made you, God is talking, a father of many nations. Remember, this is a quotation of Genesis 17, 17. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they exist. See, what is the object of his faith? It's God. People all around Abraham believe in something, probably with the same enthusiasm that Abraham had. But rather, their experience was limited, not because of their faith, but because of the limitations of that which they believe. See, when you believe in the God of the Bible, you believe in an unlimited power, unlimited presence. But if you believe you have faith in an icon on the wall, that's your limitation. Not your faith, but the icon that you believe. Your faith may be great. Your faith may be full of enthusiasm. Your faith will be devoted, but is limited by the object that you believe. The faith of Abraham was centered in the unlimited power of our God. Now look in verse 18. Look at how he believed. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. The King James said, in hope he believed against hope. Abraham, naturally speaking, had no basis for believing that at 100 years old, and Sarah, 90, would have children and become the father of many nations. Frankly, it was a hopeless situation. Nevertheless, Paul said, in hope, he believed in hope. He was not looking for a rational way to sustain his faith. He was not looking for a ground where he can see, okay, this is a probability. No, sir, there was no probability. There was no scientific way that you can prove that a man at 100 and a woman at 90, not only will have one child, will be the father of many nations. There is no chance that he believed it. And he believed it. Well, if you want to see with your own eyes, put one hand in Romans and go with me to the 15th chapter of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. the chapter 15, verse 5 and verse 6. Well, let's start from verse 1. We have time today. Somewhere the choir isn't finished. It'll give me another 5 minutes. So I love to read a lot of scripture so that I don't miss the context, you know. When I was preaching on radio, and I was preaching in Panama 2 Sundays ago, there were 3 hours they give me to preach. So boy, I can really, if I have a verse and a chapter, I read the whole chapter. That's the way the church wanted. And that way they don't miss the context. So chapter 15 of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord, God." See, Lord in capitals, that means Jehovah. That's the God that we're talking about. We're not talking about Buddha or Mohammed. We're talking about Jehovah. The King James have hold the word Jehovah in capital letters by the word Lord. And so that brings to you who is the God that we're talking about. Jehovah, Elohim, God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offerings. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." He said, the only person I have is this fellow. Verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought God, brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward the heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6. "And he believed in Jehovah." You see that word Lord in capital? "And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness." He believed in God. He believed in impossibility. He believed in impossibility. See, faith is in confidence in a person, in God. Let me show it to you. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, page 592. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And look what happened here in Mark 11, 22. Just to give you an idea, a year before these texts, Jesus went by over there, and he looked at a fig tree and said, "If these fig tree have no fruit, will dry out. Now a year later, the fig tree has no fruit and dry out. And look at what happened in Mark chapter 11 and in verse 21. "And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered away. What you said came true.'" Now look at what Jesus says in verse 22. "So Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Have faith in what?'" Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, the obvious question is, how do I have faith in God who is in heaven? How do I reach that point? Well, let's go to John Gospel. You are in Mark. Keep on to the right. And you get to John Gospel chapter 1. And verse 18. John Gospel chapter 1 and verse 18. The Gospel of John reads this way in John 1:18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him." There is no article in the Hebrew language talking about the revelation of God except that through his Son. You see that? It's through his Son. You will not understand Israel through a media show or 2 hours in television. Is the Son of God that will reveal to you who really God is. That's what it is. Now, how do I get to the song then? Well, you're in John, move to the left to the Gospel of Mark, 2444, page, I think it's 620. The Gospel of Luke, last Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verse 44. Here's how Jesus explained to two disciples how to learn and to get in connection with the Son. Luke Gospel 24, verse 44. Then he said to them are two disciples, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses." Now that's a Hebrew expression for the first five books of the Bible. When you talk to a Hebrew and you want to say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Number, Deuteronomy, you say the law of Moses. That's how they learn. So Jesus said, "It is written in me about the law of Moses and in the prophets, all of the prophecies, and in the Psalms." In the Hebrew Bible, you buy a Hebrew Bible, it's divided in three parts: the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. See? And so Jesus said to these disciples, "You want to hear about me? You want to know about me? You have the scripture. Just go over the scripture, any book of the Bible, and you find me there." Now let me ask you, is your focus of faith centered in the scripture? Or in an institution? That's why the church is not the center of faith. A lot of people say, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, sir, I'm a Roman Catholic." No, I'm asking you what denomination you participate in your life. I'm asking you, where is your faith center? "Well, I don't know," they said. "I'm a Roman Catholic." "I don't know." "You don't know?" "No, well, ask your priest. He maybe helped you." "No, he doesn't know." He said, "No, he never asked the priest. He never had faith." Our faith needs to be centered in the scripture, not in the church, not in a denomination, not in circumcision. Remember, the Hebrew people say, "Oh, you have to circumcise this baby, otherwise it's not saved." Not too long ago, when I was in Lodi, the pastor of a church asked me, "Will you help me? I had to do a funeral, and a baby died in a Roman Catholic environment. They're all Spanish, and they asked me this question. The baby was only 3 days, and do you baptize the baby before he died?" So I know what they think. They think if you do not baptize the baby, then the baby going to hell. Because, see, it's nothing I can do to give you salvation, and nothing you can do to earn salvation. You have to go to the scripture and center your faith in the word of God. And God has sent his Son to give you that word, and has written a beautiful book so you can see it everywhere. Okay, his faith, the faith of Abraham, was centered in God, Elohim, Jehovah. Secondly, his faith was anchored in the promises of God. One of the things I learned very, very young, I was 7, 8 years old, from my father, who knew about boats, and my uncle, who's a captain, is to design an anchor. How do you design the size of an anchor? All right? Well, it depends on the weight of the ship, all right, and where you go and where you're going to put it. Now here, look at this. The faith of Abraham was anchored in the promises of God. He trusted God's work out his plan in spite of circumstances. Look in chapter 4, now in Romans 4, 19 and 20. He trusted God to work out his circumstances. Romans 4, verse 19 and verse 20. It's very, very, very important that you do that. "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's wombs. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." See, he trusts God to work his plan. He did not weaken his faith when he considered the circumstances. When he saw the evidence, he said, well, the evidence tells me that cannot be done. No, he didn't know even about him. He knew about it. He was not stupid. He was a businessman, remember? One of the richest businessmen in the area. Together with Job, they own the whole East. The Iraqis were not there. They own everything. All right? This was a smart man. And when he came to God, he did not measure God by the circumstances. He measured God by what God really is. See, you read the Bible and make a mark in each promise of God. Usually promises, green is a good color for promises. Get a green pen and read your Bible. Don't buy those book of promises. Don't buy those in the store. This is somebody's work. Now you want to do your own homework. And you get your, buy a clean Bible with big letters and put in green the promises of God, you know? And then jot them down in alphabetical order in a piece of paper so you have at hand the information when you need them. And patiently wait upon the Lord to fulfill each one of those promises. He anchored his faith in the promises of God. And I'm going to give you some examples today. The people told me 41 years ago when I came to America, in 65 I came. 41 years ago. My father said, you go into the worst, this is how South America knows America. The worst country of the world. The evil is everywhere. The lure of money is everywhere. The freedom of this country is everywhere, he said. How are going to you raise this little girl? My little girl was 2 years old. My 43 years old girl, 42 years old. I beg you, he said, dedicate your life to this girl and protect it from this country. I said, Dad, my dad, see, I don't know if he was a believer or not, but my mother was and my grandmother. I have a better way to protect it. And so I opened the Bible in the book of Proverbs 22, page 397. Book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Actually, one aunt showed me these texts when I was 16 or 17. Proverbs 22 in verse 6. Page 397. Now there are some strong Hebrew words here. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child. Now, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't say teach a child. Say train up a child in the way he should go. Now, remember the first denomination of Christianity? What's called? What was the first denomination? I of the book of Acts, right there in chapter 2, what was the first denomination? Peter said, these are the people of the way. The way. So, train up a child in the way, in Christianity, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise. That's a real promise. If I want to protect my child, I'm going to train him, and train him, not teach him, train him. I will live a holy life as much as I can because I love the Lord. I will let the child watch me so that the child learn from me what I have learned from the Lord. And I will patiently go over and over the things a child need to do. Responsibility in the school, responsibility in the home, and doing things and so on. I will go with the child and do it with the child. I told you many times, I have a very hard time to jump to the right when I play professional soccer. And the coach will jump with me, almost one day attach with me with the core, jump with me to tell me that I should not be afraid to come to the floor on the right side, because I can jump on the left and stand in my hands with the legs up, but I cannot do it on the right because I was afraid they're going to hurt. He said, doesn't hurt. So he tied me up and we bought, because always I play a little bit to the right because I know I can jump to the left. He said, I want you to cover this and I want to show you. So he tied himself up. Now jump with me. And you know, patiently, rather than throwing me out and get another player, he told me, I said, why you do that? Because I think you're good, he said. Your children are good. You know how I know? They're a gift of God. They're a gift of God. They're very good. Some of them are rascals like this pastor was. Oh, I give my mother, I was the argumentative in home. If we're going to eat and I don't like the soup, I will explain why the soup is bad until my mother fix it. And then I had to eat the soup with a red face. And no child inspection came to my home. Faith. Parents have faith. Do the work. Never ends. Never ends. I remember when Miriam was in college and David University, 3 o'clock in the morning. Dad, I'm reading this in physics. I think it's wrong. And we discussed the area. My granddaughter is the same. Never ends. How beautiful. God fulfilled his promise. Now, what about provision? The gasoline went up and everything is wrong. And people tell, you know, there are people who are pessimists. They don't know how rich is America, so they feel that this country is now in trouble. You have to go another country and live in the house of the people to know what trouble really is. No in the Hilton Hotel, but in the house of the people where for breakfast, they go to the backyard and they collect fruits and you eat it with the worms and everything on it. That doesn't hurt you. That's why I don't take my wife to Panama. Because I know the holes in the fruit are the worms inside. But I learned to eat cheese with worms from my father. So what? They don't have any other thing. Philippians 4, page 693. Philippians 4, 19, page 693. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Look at what Paul said. Provision. Here is a beautiful promise. And my God, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory. Now, I have given you an example of Greek prepositions. Can we switch to this one? Greek prepositions over and over. But I want to give you this one again. Now, you read the text, my God shall supply all you need. The key word is according to his riches. Now, suppose, what is the guy who invented the computer? This Microsoft guy? Gates. Suppose I'm Gates is playing golf, and I'm his caddy. And I tell, you know, the caddy tells you, he studied the lawn and so on, and he tells you where to put it, and he win. And then he said, oh, it's marvelous. You weren't good. He put his hand in his pocket and he gave me $1. I know I'd be disappointed, but what he gave is not out of his riches, but of his riches. But God, see, he gave me out of his riches, he gave me something. But what the Bible said, that God gave us out of his riches? No, he gave us what? According to his riches. So are you going to believe it or not? When Miriam had to study medicine, he said, the counselor in David said, it's very expensive. So don't worry. Said, I get it paid cash. You need a loan? No, sir. No Christian need a loan. I pay it. And Miriam finished. And we pay it. The Association of Spanish at that time came from Los Angeles to knock my door. He said, we want to talk to you. Your daughter, you pay the bills so good. Everything is paid. How you being in Spanish did it? Oh, just come in. Sit down here. He said, did you apply in some place? Yes, sir. How long, you know how it is, this race organization. How long took you to get the loan? 10 seconds. 10 seconds? Yeah. He said, how many people you talk? One. How many offices you went? I looked my sofa, said one. You know, he said, how much you travel?
3 steps. So the guy knew it was something funny. He said, now tell me, how do you pay the bill? Do you have money? No, sir. You see that sofa? You see that corner, a little bend? I pray every day. I pray every day. And God provided to me. There were days when Miriam said, can I write a check for $50? Was at that time the exam. And I said, oh yeah, you write a check. It was 24 hours it had to put on. And I prayed. We had church service. This service was in the bank. And Brother Cassad are now with the Lord. Out of nowhere, he comes and he said, have a good week, Pastor, and put in my pocket $50. You think that's happened? So I went to the bank, deposit, and I told my daughter. When she finished, I said, now, I wrote it down, everything that happened. So I said, this is what happened. This is my God. The faith of Abraham was anchored in the promises of God. How do I get to the promise? You read the Bible, you mark it with a green pencil. Don't study theology, just read it. So here's a promise. Jot down what it is and what is about it. And when you have a need, you look on it. Finally, his faith was consistent with the fact. He believed that God can raise the dead. Let's go to Romans again in chapter 4 and in verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And so, he believed that God can raise the dead, and we have a record in the scripture that God did it. Remember Lazarus? In John 11 and in verse 43 and 44, Jesus says, Lazarus came forth, and the one who was dead, nekros, which in Greek, that means totally out of life, and the one who was dead came out. Amazing. John chapter 12, the people in town, they were disturbed because this guy was there. And they planned to kill it. As a matter of fact, I want to show you John chapter 12. After Lazarus was resurrected, in John chapter 12, we have really the testimony of people there. Let me read John 12, verse 1 and 2. The 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Now, move your eyes to verse 9. And now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So it's true. See, verse 10. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death. That's what the enemy want to do. Want to kill everyone who has a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother and my sister, Satan is after you if you are a Christian. You have been resurrected spiritually, and Satan is coming after you, trying to kill you because you are a living testimony, a living illustration of the faith in God. Be aware of that. I must getting older because I'm remembering things that happened to me at 8, 9, 10, 11. I tell my wife, you know, at 16, this guy, oh, you're getting older. Now you remember all the things. Well, my wife has to accept it. I'm no more 20, that joyous boy. I'm 70. When I was 16, I was always somebody who inquired into science and into the nature of a body. And things like that. When I was 16, I was surprised that the same sun, S-U-N, the hardened clay can melt wax. Are you guys who study physics due to experiments in classes and question yourself why this happened? Why I have the sun coming in, if I have clay, harden. If I have wax here, the same amount of sun, melted. Later on in my physics class, I learned that there is something about the composition of the two substances that produces the opposite result when exposed to identical situation. Is not on the sun, is on the substance that there is a problem. Now you have been exposed to the truth of the Bible about faith. Tell me, what are you? Clay or wax? I saw many people that when they are exposed to the scripture, they melt into the hands of God. And I saw many people that harden their life. It is not God's responsibility. God is not guilty of this. It's your heart. It is your heart. It is your heart. Juan Ramirez wrote me from Panama, received the email this morning. He said, all my life, I hardened my heart. I tried to buy your sermons, but they were not recorded. The pastor of the church gave me a Bible and said, read it. And so for 3 days, I read it and keep reading until I find myself an enemy of God. And I went to the pastor and I said, I don't want to be an enemy of God. What must I do? And he read Acts 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Pastor Otero, I'm saved. How about you? How about you? Are you saved? Do you really know the Lord Jesus? In about a few seconds, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. A feast for the believers. A joy of the Lord to say, the Lord has done once for all for me. But if you are not a believer, this means nothing to you. This is a picture of our Lord's Supper in heaven with a mighty God. If your heart clay or wax, only you can answer to that question. Father, thank you for the illustration of Abraham's faith. When God told him the impossible, he believed it. When God set him up, when God put him on the spot, he believed it. Lord, I pray that those who are listening in the radio and the internet and here in the auditorium and then in Korean television and then in our tape ministry and CD ministry, they may search their heart. What are we? Clay or wax? In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died. Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no Jesus died and the
some parents in Idaho want to be happy when they hear over the internet, Shelly, the tiny little girl that came to our church to sing. In such a way that the presence of God will follow. We pray they will never doubt your word, that believing in your word will be released from all difficulties. And we pray that someone doesn't know you may come through Jesus to know him and to believe in his work. In Jesus we pray. Amen.